Last couple of weeks, Stephen and Anami have been doing a sort of a series on Chosen, and that's been so good to just understand that God chooses us. You know, we respond to God. He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. And so amazing that God chooses us and works with us, and He's both high and lifted up, but He's up close and personal. And so that's been great to just reflect on that. But this week, talking about our faith journey. And Stephen's asked Caroline and I to share a little bit about our faith journey, but also a little bit about a faith journey in general. And so a faith journey is really your journey with Jesus. And you can't really have a faith journey without faith. That would be difficult. But a faith journey is a little bit similar to the sort of journeys that we often go on. And it sort of reminded me, and I'm quite keen on this, and I know there's a whole bunch of people in this church that are too, about sort of bushwalking or trail walking or biking. Charlie, Ricardo and myself have been on a few adventures there, off-road biking. I know Greg and Kerry over there have done a bit of walking. Crystal and Renschke, there's probably a bunch of others. Who else does a sort of bit of bushwalking type stuff? Yeah, got a few hands going up there. And so in many ways, when you sort of prepare to go on a kind of a bushwalk or a trail walk, and you're not entirely sure what you're going to be in for. You don't know, go through some soft ground and up and over some rocks, and then there's a tree falling down and then through a creek, and you got to climb up other bits and trip over other things as you go through. So our journey, our faith journey can kind of be a bit like that. Well, at least I've found it that way. And so there are a couple of things if I'm going on a kind of bushwalk I'd want to put in my backpack. And in a faith journey, the same. And I've picked three out, and there's probably a bunch of stuff you could do. But faith, grace, and the Holy Spirit are the three that I think we need to take in our faith journey. And so if you're going to prepare to go on a faith journey, then those are three things that you need to take, perhaps others as well. And so like that journey, it's sometimes a bit hard to predict. And it's a bit hard to, sometimes the obstacles and the things that get in your way challenge you a little bit in your faith journey. But it's difficult to step into that space without first coming to a beginning of your faith journey. So there's always a destination you're heading towards, but you've got to get to the start at some point. And the start for me, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I was about 18 when I first came to Christ. So I went to a boarding school. We had chapel three times a week. I kind of knew, I'd seen a Bible before, it kind of looked roughly like this, but I had never read it. And my folks weren't sort of anti the Lord, but they weren't, they were very nominal, go to church at Christmas and that's about it. And so I met a lovely young lady who I sort of fell head over heels in love with. She initially kind of tolerated me, I guess, and eventually I thought, I've got a bit of a chance here. I think she maybe kind of likes me a little bit. So we went out for a little while, for a couple of years. And at one point, I remember we were sitting on the lawn having a bit of a discussion, and she said, I think we need to break off our relationship. And that kind of caught me, took my breath away a little bit because I thought things were going pretty well. And she said, because I wouldn't be able to marry a person that wasn't a Christian. At that point, I heaved a sigh of relief. I thought, oh, is that all? I live in Australia. My parents are Australian. Australia's a Christian country. I'm not like Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu or whatever. So tick the box. I'm in. Great. Any other obstacles? She said, no, you don't quite understand. A Christian is a person that has a relationship with Jesus, that accepts that Jesus was the Lord, and commit your life to follow and serve Him, a disciple of Christ. So, that sounds a bit more serious. I'm not sure where that sits in my world. So she said, best thing you can do is come to church. And so, I've been to church before, that's okay. She said, no, you may not have been to a church like this. And so she kind of gave me a bit of a heads up on people lifting their hands and singing to the Lord and even, the working of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, that sort of thing, and kind of set the scene that this was going to be very different to anything I'd been to before, coming from a sort of traditional Anglican background. And so sure enough, I went along to the service thinking this was going to be, like, really crazy. And it was certainly a bit different for me, but I tell you what, the power of God was in that place and my life got touched and changed. And I was 18 at that point, and I've really never been the same again. And shortly after that, was filled with the Holy Spirit, went forward in a church. And at that point, I didn't even sort of think these words. They just came out of mouth. I said, Lord, I want to serve you all the days of my life. And as long as you give me breath, I want to be your disciple and follow hard after you as I can. And so from that day to this, I've endeavoured to do that and intend, as long as the Lord gives me breath, to continue to do that. And so my faith journey started at that point, and the sequel, just to toss it in there, I did end up marrying that girl I'm talking about, and of course it was Caroline, so my wife, and that was amazing. But she really led me to the Lord. It was kind of missionary dating, I suppose. She was going out with a non-Christian. It's one way to build the kingdom of God for all you single people. Go and find a non-Christian, convert them to Christ and marry them. How about that? Good strategy. So, but as we mentioned, faith, it's hard to do a faith journey without faith. And in Hebrews 11 verse 1, the King James Version says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, we've got probably a different version there. Now, faith is the assurance of the things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. It goes on in Hebrews 11 there to say, but without faith it's impossible to please him. And he who comes to God must believe who he is, and he's a rewarder of him that diligently seeks him. The Bible gives a few definitions of faith, but the dictionary does as well. And the dictionary definitions, it says faith is, and listen to this, a strong conviction, a firm belief, complete trust, confidence, reliance, and devotion. Trust is something that you can't control, a confident expectation of hope. Trust in something, I'm sorry, you can't control, a confident expectation or hope. So faith is about us connecting with God. It's about us seeking after God, and faith is our glue, if you like, that connects us to God. So in our journey, as we're traveling with God, we grow in our faith. The Bible makes it clear that faith comes in different sizes. It says Jesus talked about little faith, small amount. Talked about great faith, huge amount. So we know that faith, we understand faith comes kind of in different sizes. But God responds to faith. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God connects. God responds. Phil Pringle often says God responds to faith. So when we're desperate for something, it's faith that needs to rise in our heart. And that God will respond to that and connect to that. And so as we respond in faith and faith grows, goes from little faith to great faith, then our confidence in God increases, and so we press towards him, and so our faith and our confidence grows, and so we press towards him, and it's our journey takes us closer to Christ. And so I'd really hope that for each one of us, you get to the point where you accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour and grow in your relationship with Jesus. It's not about travelling just a parallel distance and staying the same. It's about coming into a closer relationship with Jesus. So what's the secret to growing and sustaining our faith? Good question. Well, the Bible tells us the answer. I always find the Bible teaches us, challenges us with questions, and then gives us the answer to those questions. We can seek them out in the Scriptures. And Romans says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith comes, faith grows, faith increases, faith develops by hearing. And that word hearing is more than just, you know, your ears. It's sort of digesting, it's understanding, it's seeking out by hearing what God's saying and by the Word of God. So if we sort of unpack that a little bit, the Word is the source. So it says the Word of God at the end of that. The Word is the source. The hearing, the digesting is the process, and faith is the result. So if you get that picture of the Word of God, we digest it, we hear it, we read it, and we get faith at the end of that. And so it's very hard to grow faith without reading the Word of God. The Word of God's the Bible. It's an amazing book, 66 books written by 39 authors over thousands of years, and yet it knits together and is basically the instructions for life. I'd love to have time to talk about that in terms of creation and what's been found out in the last 20 or so years about our DNA sequencing and the programming of that, talk about instructions for life. So God created us and formed us, and he gave us an instruction manual. Who's ever bought a bit of gear, a complex bit of gear, maybe a motor vehicle, and it comes with an instruction manual. Now, most of us don't read it, of course. I don't think I've ever read a manual in my life. But anyway, they're there for you. But when it comes to life, you need to be able to read the manual. You want to be reading the manual. And so the Word of God is our instructions. And we've got this desire, I guess, to learn more about God and to more about our own life. Well, you can get the answers to that in the Bible. And it really comes as a love letter, as an instruction, as a scientific document, as a historical document, and as you read that. And it's interesting, in my own journey, when I first came to Christ and started my walk with Him, I really didn't know much about reading the Bible. And most books I've ever picked up, you start the first page and you kind of read to the end, like you just read it in, you know, chronological sort of sequence. So I picked up Bible, started in Genesis, read about creation into Exodus, Numbers, and so on. So I read about the first five or so books of the Bible really straight out of the bat when I first came to Christ. And I had a mate who was a keen surfer, and we used to go down south, down to Yelling Up. And at that stage, he thought this was a bit weird. I didn't want to go surfing. I wanted to stay and read the Bible. And so he'd go off surfing, and I'd sit down at the beach in Yelling Up and just completely captivated by what I was reading. It was like the Holy Spirit made the Bible alive to me. And it was those instructions that I think built faith in my life. And so from that point of view, it's interesting. I love some of these quotes. Billy Graham says, if you're ignorant of God's word, you'll be ignorant of God's ways. That's challenging, isn't it? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a famous preacher, said, people with a Bible that's falling apart usually have lives that aren't. Interesting one, isn't it? The Bible is meant to be bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions. Interesting to think about that too. Abraham Lincoln said this, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given man. All the good things from the Savior of the world are communicated to us through this book. But faith isn't something that grows just on the inside. It needs to be outworked. And so I love that thought that the Scripture says that we walk by faith. And if you sort of think about that, faith isn't just something that keeps you still. You walk. And in this idea of a faith journey, we walk out our faith. And in James it says, you have faith and I have works. Show me your works without faith and I'll show you my faith by my works. For faith without works is dead. 2 Corinthians, as I said, says we walk by faith. So for me, I sort of get that idea that as my faith grows, as I read the Scriptures, as that encourages my faith to grow, I start to walk my faith out. I start to progress in my journey of faith. And that means that I can hear God's word by reading it, grows faith in my life, it changes my actions. It changes, you know, in James it says the works, faith without works is dead. So it grows my faith and then I'm able to outwork that faith. It's interesting, when we start to outwork our faith, then certain challenges and difficulties can arise. Because as we journey, like it would if you were walking on a walking trail, you can reach some obstacles and difficulties that you hit in your life, and that's when your faith can be challenged. For me, I dig into the Scripture and start to look at, well, what's God say about these circumstances? But even so, one of the things about faith is that we don't have all the faith that we need to progress in our journey, and sometimes we rely on other people. And I was just chatting to Caroline earlier, and there was an example just recently where we had a bit of a challenge with our business, and it was really probably the faith of others that sort of got us through that. So I don't know if you can come and perhaps share that, Caroline, about what your faith journey was in that case.
Yeah, thank you. Crystal and Renska, can you just come and stand here, please? We're in Connect group together. So really quickly, this is an example to me where the Lord put a big challenge in our pathway and business. We share a premises, and the guy that shares with us came and said, oh, Caroline, I'm not going to continue leasing the space that I do. And I went, oh, okay, fine. So that's, we've got 2.5 years to go. Oh, no, I'm going to be finishing in 6 months. So I said, oh, okay, fine. So then that means that you'll continue paying your share, even though you go, no, it doesn't mean that, Carol. It means I'm going to stop paying. And just to set it in context, I'm sure you will agree, it amounted to, what was it, Greg? $70,000 we're talking about. So you agree with me that that kind of like takes a bit of faith. We're not talking about the weekly grocery amount of money here. It's a significant amount of money. So I explained to him, well, that's an enormous amount of money and what were we supposed to do? And he basically, cut a long story short, it wasn't going to be his problem. He declared that. So we had Connect Group, and I remember saying to the girls, we always have a time of prayer, and I said, oh, this is my prayer. And I am pretty honest, and I said, I'm pretty angry. I got pretty angry with the guy, and Greg had to tell me I had to calm down. And anyway, I was saying to the girls, I'm really angry about this. And to be honest, I'm actually really angry with the Lord about it. It's ridiculous, you know, on top of everything else, there was some stuff going down. But I kind of was doing the big whinge. And I wanted to also say, I did immediately swung into doing homework and went up and down the street, and there were a lot of places that were for rent at that stage, for lease and rent. And when I looked into it, A, there was a lot of places, and B, the rental that they were getting was going to translate to significantly lower than what we were collecting. And it wasn't for us. The rent got passed straight on to the landlord. So it's like, even if we did manage to compete with all these myriad of other places on the street, it was never, ever going to be $70,000. In fact, a room rented not far away and it amounted to like $10,000, like crazy. So I'm like, not happy, Jan. So I'm having the whinge at the Connect Group, and not everybody is here today, but these two girls were here. And as we do, we kind of pray for each other and for our families or for whatever, the church, whatever. So I remember having the whinge, and Crystal here on the right, all the girls prayed, but I kind of had this sense that when Crystal prayed, she's a very quiet girl. She doesn't like the limelight. She won't like being on the stage. But I just knew, and sorry, I feel a bit emotional, because I really believe at the end of the story, the Lord was going, see that, Caroline? You better take a bit of notice here. Stop your whinging, girl. And Crystal prayed in faith. And there was something in me. I knew she was praying in faith. And I wasn't. And that really arrested me. I went, oof. Anyway, time went on. We do connect every 3 weeks on a Thursday night. And the next Thursday, and Crystal would keep asking, how is that? I went, no, there's nothing. And I can't remember the time frame. I cannot. But very, very, seemed like a relatively short time. But in fact, it was right to the end when we needed to be paying the landlord the next, and our guy had stopped. We got a new person. And guess what? That rental amount was what it should have been. And so I just want to give testimony to, I did not have the faith. You would think, I've been a Christian quite a long time, you would think, hello, how come you didn't do? But I'm honest that somebody else that is in our Connect group had the faith. And I kind of feel like the Lord said, you know, all honour to some quiet people who don't want limelight, they don't want to make a fuss, they're not leaping about much, they're just so solid in their. And Crystal and Renska and the other girls took me through. And I feel like that was a lesson that the Lord wanted to say to me. You know what, Caroline? Okay, kind of like you goofed. You did. I can imagine the Lord saying to the Holy Spirit, oh, my goodness, there she goes again. Will she not get the message? Other people have got it and she can't do it. So I kind of felt the Lord say, you see, somebody else has got that faith. And so next time, what are you going to do, Caroline? You're going to go to faith. So thank you. I just wanted to honour the Connect girls as well.
Thanks, babe. Yeah, that's so good, isn't it? And Hebrews 11, let me just inspire you with this. It's a chapter on faith. And I'm just going to quickly run through the verses that it says and pick out the appropriate bits. It says, by faith, we understand that the universes were formed. By faith, Abel brought a more acceptable sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was taken up to heaven. By faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed God. By faith, Sarah was having a child. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac. By faith, Isaac offered a blessing to his sons. By faith, Jacob was old and dying and blessed Joseph's sons. By faith, Joseph said confidently the people of Israel would leave Egypt. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. By faith, Moses grew up and refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, Moses commanded the people to keep the Passover. By faith, the people of Israel went through the Red Sea. By faith, Israel marched around Jericho. By faith, Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed. And so on. It says, and the scripture says in verse 32, how much more do I need to say? How long would it take to recount the stories of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and all the prophets? By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, received God's promise, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fiery flames, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. These people earned a great reputation because of their faith. That's Hebrews chapter 11. And those people were no different to you and I, no different to the ladies in Caroline's Connect group. Faith can change your world. Faith takes you on a journey that's amazing. I wouldn't swap the last 40 years of walking with Jesus for anything. It's amazing. And faith is the foundation of our faith journey. Goes without saying, doesn't it? So reading the Bible is feed your faith journey. You're going to have stunted faith if you don't feed it. It's like the Bible is like superfood for your soul. So you can read a paper version like this, or you can get apps on your Bible, or you can get it online and all sorts of things. In fact, I'd love to grab a cup of coffee in the morning and the Bible's in the paper, if you want to read that. I don't know if you can flip up that that slide there. So in the letters to the editor, every day in the West Australian, there's a scripture. This is one that I took this week. It's either on the bottom left or the bottom right, the letters there. The Bible Society puts a verse of scripture in the paper every day. So I go and grab my coffee, I grab the paper, and one of the first pages I turn to is to see what the scripture in the paper is for that day. So that's just a little bit of food you can have. I hope maybe you might read more of the Bible than just that bit, but even if you just did that, that's great. Get some scripture inside you so you can pick out a scripture out of the paper and read that. The good news. Well, the newspaper doesn't have that much good news usually, but there you go. There's a little bit. So reading the Bible feeds our soul, builds our faith, helps us go on our faith journey. But we all know that we can have some challenges, and Caroline's talked a little bit about that, where we may be have some headwinds against us. And if you've ever been on a bushwalk like we've talked about, there are times when you have to sort of stop and regroup, and maybe you have to take shelter, and you know, might be a really strong wind you've got to stand against. And the second aspect was grace. And so for me, this idea that we walk by faith, but the Bible says in Romans, it's in grace that we stand. We stand in grace. So I kind of get this picture of we walk by faith, and then we get to points sometimes where we just need to stand. And my thought is that you kind of put your feet slightly apart, you sort of brace yourself, and you can stand against things that might knock you over if you were walking at the time. So it's kind of grace. Standing in grace is kind of a position of strength for me. And I sort of love that idea of grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. You don't deserve it. You don't earn it. You can't buy it. It's not tradable, it's a gift, the gift of grace. And it's the unmerited part of it too, that we actually don't deserve it. God gives us grace, but we don't earn it, it's a gift. And grace, in some senses, keeps you safe. So at times, I think we journey and, you know, we can prosper in our way, we can walk in faith, we can make progress. And at other times, we just want to be able to stand in grace when we're sort of fighting against circumstances and difficulties that we face. And God's mercies and his grace anew every morning. And I love that thought that he does that. So in 1 Corinthians, it says, we're to stand firm and be steadfast, immovable. Ephesians 6:11, we put on the whole armour of God and therefore able to stand. I know Christians loves that scripture. That's one of his favourite go-to, that we stand in the armour of God. But it's something about walking by faith and standing in the grace of God. And that's part of our faith journey as well, isn't it? That if you're walking on a trail sometimes, you pull over, you maybe get something to eat, you shelter, you regroup, you might have to get some debris off the track, and you stand in that position and the grace of God and the strength of God. I've got a bit of a clip from a pastor, Jisung Parks, who's a Korean pastor, who just 2 minutes long, and I'll just get you to spin that there, thanks, about the grace of God. So I hope you enjoy this.
The idea of Christian grace seems like it can be so easily abused. I know that when sometimes Christians or even those who are not familiar with the faith talk about grace, grace seems to be like an enablement or a coddling or a pampering, because it appears like if I do what I want, God will show me grace or God will forgive me. And that's a subconscious thought of a lot of Christians. A lot of people who think, if I do this, if I do whatever I want, God will love me anyway. God has to love me. He has no choice. But when we understand that grace given from God, that love that's given from God, actually cost the life of His very Son, then it would be so difficult, maybe even impossible, to look at the cross and to look at God's love and walk back into the old life in which God, in which Jesus, actually died for to forgive us from. And that grace is actually to purchase us away, or in a sense redeem us away from the old life, so that we would no longer walk back. It's as if we were in a debt, we were in a deficit. And God said, I'm going to send my Son to buy you back from that. And then I would say, oh, thanks for that grace. And then I walk right back into that debt. And so when we truly understand grace and we realize the ultimate eternal cost that was paid for us, there's a sense in which it tenderizes and melts our hearts. That sort of love pulverizes us and it galvanizes us away from the old life into a new life. And so I believe that grace is the only thing that can motivate us, encourage us, that can strengthen us to live that new life that God has for us. And so I don't see grace as sort of a get out of jail free card. I don't see it as, hey, this is a permission slip for you to do what you want. I actually don't see grace as, some people say, oh, it's a license to sin. I actually see grace as new life breathed into you by love that costs everything, by love that costs the life of God's very Son, so that we can walk into new life. Grace is not only something that forgives us for everything we've done before, it also empowers us into a fully fruitful, mission-empowered life for Him.
Yeah, so grace is something that both takes care of your past and promises your future. And I love that thought that without grace, probably none of us are going to be able to stand and progress in our faith journey. Ephesians 2 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And talk about great songs, Stephen, this morning. The second verse of Amazing Grace, probably the most popular hymn ever written. "Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. This grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." So we need the grace of God in our journey, don't we? None of us are going to get there without the grace of God. And the third bit, and time is short, but I'll just touch on this, is the Holy Spirit. Probably the best till last, I've got to say. Amazing when I read some of the scriptures, like in John. This is Jesus talking. And it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's better that I go away." And that just right there is a bit of a showstopper, isn't it? It's better that Jesus goes away. Wouldn't we have all loved to live in the New Testament times when Jesus was with us and those disciples and people that traveled with him for those few years that Jesus was on earth? That would have been amazing. But Jesus said, no, it's actually better that I go away. "For if I do, then I'll send the Helper to you. But if so, the Helper will not come, but if I depart, I'll send him to you. I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. However, he, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you in all truth, and he will teach you. He will not speak of his own authority, but he hears, he will speak what he hears, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Ghost, the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I've said. John, again, it says, in the first day of the great feast, Jesus stood and said, if anybody thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And those that believe in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit whom those that believed in him would receive. The Holy Spirit comes. Jesus sent the helper, sent the guide to us. And in if you search through the scriptures about what the Holy Spirit is, he's a comforter, he's a teacher, he disciplines us at times, but encourages us, heals us, directs us, leads us into truth. The Holy Spirit's your best friend. The Holy Spirit's like having a coach and a cheerleader inside you from God. It's part of the Godhead, God dwelling in us through the Holy Spirit. It's so good to have the Holy Spirit living in you. And your faith journey isn't going to be the same without the Holy Spirit journeying with you. So God comes with us. He doesn't just meet us at the end. He didn't just kick us off at the start and said, I'll see you in 20 years' time when you get to the end. God journeys with us through the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that receiving the Holy Spirit from me was an amazing event. Paul says in Acts 19, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Some people seem to get the whole Holy Spirit experience at their point of salvation. But for me, there was, I'm not quite sure the exact date that I actually gave my life to Christ. It was like I wasn't a Christian here. A couple of months later, I knew I was. And then a couple of months after that, I had an encounter with God in a church service where I went forward and received the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that really, more than my point of salvation, changed my life. It was an amazing, kind of slightly strange, I've got to say, but I felt like electricity flowing through my body. I felt tingly. I felt like butterflies in my stomach. And I started to speak in a language that I hadn't learned. So I didn't know what this language was. And as I said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And I was filled with the Holy Ghost that day. And the amazing thing was, and I'm not sure, I've spoken to a few people who have had a similar experience, when I went outside and it's literally the sky was bluer, the birds were louder, the flowers were brighter, the air was fresher. It was like I saw the world through different eyes. It was almost like a taste of heaven. And it lasted for maybe a couple or 3 weeks and then kind of faded. But it was like God invaded my life in a way that I really can't explain it. From that point forward, I have no thought that anybody could ever convince me that God isn't real and that he doesn't love me and he doesn't care for me and that I can't have a close relationship with him. Once you experience the touch of God, there's no going back. It's just the best thing. And so that I feel like God's my champion. He's for me. He loves me. He cares for me. And he wants the best for me. And so my faith journey, I'm looking forward to plenty of journey ahead. The best is yet to come, as John Wesley used to say in his book. But the best of all, God is with us. And so our faith journey starts at some point. I think sometimes our faith journey starts before we even know the Lord. I look back now and see that God was dealing in my life probably a year or two before I even knew him. And in fact, I've sort of, in talking to the Lord about that, I could see circumstances before I knew Jesus that he was working in my life. But really, our faith journey in earnest starts when we're able to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And that's a step that we take. It's a step that leads us to the greatest adventure, the greatest journey in the world. And so I'm going to give an opportunity for anybody that doesn't know Jesus to do that this morning. Today can be the start of your faith journey. If you've never encountered Jesus, you'd be amazed when you meet him. And any journey starts with a first small step. And so in Romans it says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What's that mean? That means if we believe in Jesus and we tell people, if we tell the Lord, we believe in you, we confess with our mouth, then salvation comes to us. God comes and lives with us. comes and inhabits with us. So I might just ask you all to stand. And for some, you might be in a faith journey with Jesus already. You might have known the Lord for a while. But in your journey, maybe the trail's been leading you a certain direction, but you've fallen off the edge somehow. You've kind of got stuck down a creek, or stuck on top of a rock, or you just haven't progressed in your journey. Well, can I encourage you a few things to pray this prayer that we're about to pray? And I've prayed this a lot of times, and every time I pray it like it's the first time. And can I also encourage you to start reading the Bible? Maybe you've not been a great student of the Bible. You can get apps on your phone, as I've mentioned. I get an email through from C3 Hong Kong, actually, a guy called Wayne Simpson, who sends out an email every morning. And it's got a scripture and some commentary on that. There's others, and they're leading the way. Dr. Michael Youssef, Caroline, subscribes to his podcasts and so on. But the best of all is actually just to pick up the Bible and read it yourself. And just this morning, Psalm 23, I said, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's a psalm that we'd all know. But it's amazing. You read it for fresh, and it ends, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's nothing like reading the scripture to feed your soul, build faith, connect you with God. So I'm going to pray a prayer. Perhaps you can repeat it after me. And if this is the first time you've ever prayed this prayer, I'd really love you at the end of the service to come forward. Love to say hi. Love to give you some material, kind of help you on your way. But for others, there may be people that have struggled in their faith journey and you're kind of not quite sure where you are, a bit stuck. Love to pray with you as well. And there are other folk here that can pray with you if you come to the front. So we really just want people to be encouraged in your faith journey. It's an amazing journey. I'm really looking forward to progressing with God, working my faith out in our work context, in family and in church, in my community. But it starts with a small step that accepts Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. So let's do that now. Let's just bow our heads and repeat after me. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he died on the cross to take away my sin. I thank you that he rose again so I can have new life. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I turn away from my old ways and I follow hard after you. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for accepting me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. If you'd like prayer, come forward at the end of the service. I'll just get Stephen to close the service. Love to pray with you and just really encourage you in your faith journey that God will prosper, bless you. God's for you. God wants to take you on a journey too. And if you get stuck, God wants to lift you up. He takes you from the lower ground and shifts you to higher ground, takes you from the miry clay and sets you on a rock to stand. And so the Christian journey is the most amazing journey. So with faith, with grace and with the Holy Spirit, you can get there in an incredible way. And we read in Hebrews the amazing faith journey that people in the Old Testament have taken. Every one of you is capable of walking a similar journey. You can all be people, men and women, of mighty faith and mighty grace. Amen.